And I'm glad to see that some of you that were here this morning come back this afternoon for the session. And I apologize to those of you that were here this morning. Some of what I say will have been said this morning. But anyway, I'd like to show how it applies, might apply to smallholder farmers. Now, we all know that the energy catalyst is the sun, and that hits the chlorophyll molecule in the leaves, and the chloroplasts act a little bit like the engine to make to drive the whole process. And if we have the water and the nutrients in a balanced system, we've got something going. And so the solar quarter focuses on incident sunlight as its tool to increase radiation use efficiency for increased crop yield. And I just focusing on that one, I not diminishing any of the others, but I want to focus on that one. Now, here's something that the small farmer can do better than maybe the large farmer is that the solar corridor proposes that we raise corn and white corn or sunflower or some crop like that in wide, wide rows that are wide enough. Well, the taller the plant grows, the wider the row needs to be in order to get light to all the leaves on the plant. And you know that there are a lot of lower leaves in the cornfield, in a traditional cornfield, that do not really get a lot of incident sunlight or a lot of light. Our system then, this system, one of the systems on the left, we have peas growing in between the corn rows. And that maybe would apply maybe small farmers. It might be more attractive for them than say, the large farmers are now. But that's what the solar quarter is about. And I think that it's a system that the small farmer or the small family farmer or the farmer that's close to a town that has a lot of people that eat food, eat garden stuff, that could work. It could be an application. Maybe the small farmer can use equipment like that instead of what the large farmer has, the big large ones. But we want the mature chloroplast to capture more CO2 and produce more photosynthates. And we think that having the plants far enough apart to get that access, that sunlight, is a component, a key component of that. And then if we can select the hybrids that have the highest capacity reproductive sink to be able to use to put that into grain, that's what we want to do. And then if we have a more productive source or photosynthetic factory, then we make sure the vegetative sinks get what they need also in the form of the roots or the better stalk for standability. And then the variety selection is key. Variety selection and cultivar to put in between the crop corn rows is key. We'd like to have something that's compatible with corn, but produce some income or helps soil conservation or helps reduce soil erosion or something. And then the production inputs become cultivar and variety specific from that point on. Now, we tested this system by, first thing we did is we went out and screened a whole large number of high-yielding corn hybrids. And the first 200 hybrids we screened, it looked to me like there's about 21 hybrids that would really had a lot of flex, would really flex if they had light on the lower leaves. And so we wanted to test that against the controls where they didn't have that, the light came in on the top of the plant. So this is our design, how we did it. We split our treatment by four hybrids. We split those hybrids by four plant populations because I was not going to assume that the population for this system would be the same as the optimum population in the controls. Then we had two row width entries. If the host site equipment was 30-inch rows, we had 60-inch wide twin rows. If the host equipment was 36-inch, we had 72-inch wide twin rows. And we saw essentially no difference in whether 30 or 36-inch is in response to the system. And then all of our treatments were north-south rows between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude, and that's where that work was done. Now, this is the result. These are the results we got. The hybrid B, C, and D were selected out of those 21 hybrids that looked that passed our screening trials that said would respond. We thought would respond to the system. Hybrid A was selected from those 179 hybrids that looked like they wouldn't respond. Didn't really respond to that extra light in the lower leaves. And in average of all overall environments, hybrid A, the one that we kind of spent, which is more of the typical hybrid, did not like the solar corridor. Hybrid B, C, and D did. And that's been repeated that over and over of those four hybrids. That study was repeated a lot now. But that was at about 180 bushel yield level. Now, we wondered what would happen, what would the results be if we were at a higher production level. And so we took out the four lowest yielding sites, and the eight highest yielding sites did have the same kind of response. Hybrid A does not like the system. It literally needs all of those rows in the field. And hybrid B, C, and D liked it. They responded to it. Now, but one of the problems is obvious is we have that four plant populations. And it's pretty obvious that probably one of those populations or two of those populations are suboptimal populations. So I wonder what would happen if we see what happened in the yield-wise response at the optimum population. And then the question came, what is the optimum population? Because depending on the hybrid. Those four hybrids there, they really differ on what population they use, but they prefer. But we did select the 30,000 plant population for our study to look at, and the fact is we've never changed the response. B, C, and D were responsive to the system, and A was not. Now, hybrid A, B, C, and D will change to whatever location you're going to, but so each site you need to select your own hybrids that for your maturity and for your site and for your selection. But once you select them, if they make it through the screening trial to be responsive, we've got something to go on for future studies. That's what we've done there. This is why we had a problem selecting what population would be the optimum. Well, hybrid A, B, and C, like that population, they, of course, 15,000 was just too low a population for them for maximum yield. But for hybrid D, it didn't make any difference what the population was. It produced 200 bushel corn at all populations, from 15,000 to 30,000. There was only one difference is 30,000 at 15,000 plants per acre, it had 30,000 ears, and at 30,000 plants per acre, it also had 30,000 ears. That was just that ear would express the extra light by putting on the second ear. Now, we've had a little casualty with our hybrids. Those hybrids don't exist anymore. They're not offered for sale anymore. But they're out there. Now, was it 2011 or 2012? We took one of the modern hybrids, the triple stacked hybrids, we found that, of course, that one of those also did the same as hybrid B, C, and D, is it yielded exactly the same amount of corn as it did before. And we found, of course, that this is just my illustration to show that it really didn't make any difference if we were 30-inch rows or 36-inch rows. We still got about the same kind of response to the treatment. And then single rows might well be a more preferable choice than twin rows. So we did put out, we looked at the hybrids in single rows, but to put the corn plants as close together as we had to put them to come up with the same population, it stressed out all the hybrids, so they didn't like it. Except hybrid D was the only one that really, hybrid D is at the bar on the right, it still worked in either double or twin rows either way, whereas none of the other hybrids did. And it's photosynthesis, of course. We just know that sunlight is probably the premier energy catalyst for photosynthesis. And if that's the case, we should maybe this repositioning of it on the plant is something we should be looking at, and we sure are. But what that diagram there is, we've got the chloroplast is inside the chlorophyll molecule. It's inside the green leaf. That's what that is. And at that point, you bring the CO2 and the water is in the plant, is in the chloroplast to produce photosynthesis. And then we know that the first production event that occurs when a new leaf emerges from the soil or whorl is photosynthesis. Loomis and Williams say that 90% of plant productivity is sourced in photosynthesis. So this system is designed to nurture and grow that process of photosynthesis. Now, but to the extent that the photosynthates are sufficient, you know, if we have plenty of photosynthesis, it's variety kind of determines what we do with that extra photosynthase. And then the photosynthate production surely is a function of rate that occurs over the length of time that occurs. And then that yield is governed by then the law of the minimum, or in other words, if anything is limiting, that's the most limiting factor, like the stave barrel would illustrate. It's I don't care how much sunlight you get or how much nitrogen you get, if the one stave of you're short of phosphorus or short of zinc or something, that's about all you're going to produce. And then it also says the value of any one input is a function of the support given to it by all other inputs. And based on that, then that's how photosynthesis works, how I was looking at this. And increased productivity can be achieved through this system. And so far, about the only thing I've seen wrong with this system is it maybe doesn't lend itself real well to the large farming operation, because I'm suggesting that maybe we can grow another crop in between the corn rows, and the large farmers that's not something that maybe they want to do, unless it's a cover crop that doesn't have to be harvested. But anyway, I think this system is one that would lend itself to small farmers, to small farm operations, and my conclusion is that we have a significant potential to improve radiation use efficiency that could be effectively exploited through extensive interdisciplinary independent research on this concept. And I think maybe the small stakeholder farmer is one of the places where this can really be applied without trying to upset the positive mental attitude people have towards this. So that's kind of, I just think this can fit for the small farmer. And if you had any, do I have time for a question?
One or two questions, absolutely.
Do you have any question on what I've said so far? What I've said, well, this is all I'm going to say on it, actually, but except if you have some questions on it. The other speakers will follow up the things that I kind of missed, I would guess. If there are no... Yes.
I showed this our Bob Fox to some folks this fall, and one of the guys in the industry suggested that drought tolerant corn that they have developed would probably fit this very well. Do they have that flexibility?
Okay. Well, yes. We need to find those hybrids that really fit.
Right.
And in a drought. And we do that.
Concerned that our older varieties or hybrids. cogs. And he said some of the new ones have such small cogs that they really pack the yield on.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
They expect the industry involved in this too.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, see, I've always tried to, I've always said that the variety is kind of key here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why there aren't more people from the in that business here involved in this than they have. But that's right. That's what I would think to say.
You got one of them
interest out. Yeah, 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 yeah. I haven't been a very good social scientist or a very good communicator on this. But yes.
Could the research be undertaken without hybrid seed, with other open pollinated
chemistry? Oh, I would certainly guess it could be. I used the hybrid seeds that I had available. Oh, absolutely. I would think it could be. I would love to do that, but I haven't. I would think it could be. There's one other question.
I had a question. I've seen a little work on twin row corn and irrigating conditions.
I do not have the answer for that. In all my screening trials indicated that I couldn't select. I that didn't give me any insight that I thought I might have. No.
You get a few more plants with two ears for their.
Absolutely. With hybrid D, we did.
Most of the plants is the lighter ones?
Yeah, with hybrid D, we did put on two ears instead of one ear when we had plenty of light to the bottom leaves.
Yeah.
But that hybrid's gone.